Welcome to Eco Living in Action, a half-hour sustainable living show with Maureen Howard. Maureen chats with a different guest each week about their sustainability activities and initiatives, from advice on tiny houses to rooftop gardens to wildlife-friendly farming practices. Maureen's guests are passionate individuals who are making a difference. Eco Living in Action, proudly supported by Taste Nature.
And welcome, kia ora, welcome to Eco Living in Action. I'm Maureen Howard, eco facilitator and team builder and host of this show. Now recently, I was in Wellington, I was visiting with some family, and while I was there, I went walking in the Atari Wilton Nature Reserve, and if you haven't been there, it is so beautiful, but I had really two wonderful experiences, meeting some red-crowned parakeets, and most special of all, spending some time with a wild caca while it rooted away at a dead tree for bugs. Now, these two species are only there because the Zealandia Eco Sanctuary is spilling its diversity over its fence, and I'm excited with the hope that we can have the same here someday, with caca taking up residence in North East Valley. Now, the group Open View also has this vision and is taking actions to help make North East Valley a more inviting place for caca and other native birds and flora and fauna to live. So in the studio today with me, and this is a pre-recorded show, to chat about Open View and the value of encouraging biodiversity in our backyards is Claire Cross. Claire is contracted through the Orikanui Eco Sanctuary to be the educator and community coordinator of Open View, or Open Valley Urban Eco Sanctuary. So welcome to the show, Claire.
Thank you.
And actually, this show is being recorded so a day early because you're busy tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So tell me, Claire, now, your role, it's a little bit complicated, isn't it, as you were saying to me before you came on air?
It is a little bit, yeah. I've got a couple of different roles as part of Open View. So I work quite closely with schools, delivering an education program in schools in North East Valley and Opoho and Pine Hill, and then I'm also coordinating some community activities and events as well.
Right, yes. So I guess I'm really interested in what you're doing, you know, with Open View and to help like revitalize or spark and increase the interest in the environmental and protecting our biodiversity. So so tell me a bit more about Open View themselves.
So Open View, as you said, is Valley Urban Eco Sanctuary. So we're hoping to create an area as part of the Opoho, North East Valley and Pine Hill suburbs where we can actually use it as a defined catchment area for Lindy Creek and as a green corridor to link Orikanui and the town belt.
Oh, right. So you've got that vision right through to the town belt.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And you see that, so the Lindsay Creek, that's a really important part of it. Is that right? Yeah.
It is a really important part. The Awa, the Lindsay Awa, is sort of part of the life of North East Valley.
Yeah, it is. And there's been a lot of revitalization there with the Creek Fest and so forth.
Yep. There's been a lot of work with the Lindsay Creek. So Creek Fest, as you said, the Valley Spring Clean as well. So Love the Lindsay, they're the group that is really the driving force for work directly around the Awa.
Mm, okay. And so when did Open View start?
So Open View started in 2017. So it's a really big collaboration between lots of different groups. So the Valley Project, Orikanui Eco Sanctuary, the University of Otago, and the real driving force behind it is the North East Valley, Opoho and Pine Hill suburbs.
Right, okay.
So the communities, the people.
Right. And are there, if you've got a small committee or how does it operate?
Yeah, we have a steering group, which has representatives from each of those groups on it. And as part of that steering group, we're really moving the group forward into creating the Valley Urban Eco Sanctuary.
Right. Mm. Right. And so the idea that is with time you can we can restore and like put lots in back into our gardens, and then whenever as nature's spilling over from Orikanui, it has somewhere to go. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So restoring what we've got in our backyard, so restoring the biodiversity and restoring the ecological integrity of the area. If through plantings, perhaps bird feeding, and creating a low predator environment, so there's less predators around. So when there is that spillover from Orikanui, the populations, they're doing amazingly well up there. Coming down through Northeast Valley, we're creating a place for them to come that is really safe for them.
Right, right. Yeah.
And hopefully they can come and start breeding some of them. So
yeah. And I think our lowland forests are really important, you know, because we do have, like New Zealand, we are very, very fortunate that we have a lot of national reserves, but a lot of them tend to be up in the higher areas where the people aren't living. Isn't that right? You know,
yeah.
So getting stuff that's close to home. But for you, it's also really important just that it's in our backyards, isn't it?
Yeah, so a lot of places where people can connect with nature is in their own backyard. So actually getting out, connecting with nature in backyards rather than, or as well as going out to some of those other places. But there's a lot of biodiversity in gardens and in these lowland areas, as you said.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of advice then do you give household owners or people who are renting? What kind of things do you advise them, you know, like to make their garden more attractive to nature?
One thing would be if you're wanting to attract, say, birds, for example, you could either plant particular native plants that will attract birds, so ones that provide food sources. So, for example, like kowhai would provide nectar. Or bird feeding as well, so putting out some food for birds.
What kind of food do you recommend?
I would recommend either sugar water or fruit, so maybe apple or banana, as that will attract the native birds. So, for example, you'd likely see, say, bell birds, silver eyes, tui, eating from those types of feeders.
And do you recommend then, because, you know, in my own garden, I'm more trying to have a lot of different types of species, you know, to cover across the year. So is there, would you recommend that people feed only during a certain time of the year or all throughout the year?
Feeding during winter is probably the best time to feed, because that's when there's not as much natural food sources around. So you're more likely to get birds at feeders then as well. But it's really great to, if you are doing plantings, to plant lots of different species of plants. So then birds do have natural food sources all around the year as well.
Yeah. And it'd be great to design some great bird feeders. Have you got...
We have actually, as part of Open View, the Pekka Pekka feeder was designed as part of it, so that we could standardise when we're doing surveys, for example, we could standardise all of our data. So it's a waratah with a wee, I think it's injection moulded platform, and then you could either put whatever type of feeder you would like on it, so an apple feeder or a sugar water feeder, and it's really easy to install. You just pop it in your garden.
Right, so waratah is good, so the cat can't climb up the waratah.
Yeah, so the platform itself has got a 360-degree view, so the birds have a really good view of everything that's happening going on around them.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
I can get one.
Yeah.
Also, I'm a bit selfishly for my bird watching and photography.
Oh, yes, yeah, awesome. Well, part of Open View is, as I said, is doing surveys in gardens, so part of that does involve doing some bird counts, so watching the birds.
Okay, cool. So there's lots of things happening. What kind of other things has Open View organised?
So at the moment, as I said, we're working actually in schools delivering this education program, so we're just about to start predator sampling with the kids in their own gardens, but we've also had trap box workshops, making seed balls, so learning a bit more about planting native seeds, and making bird feeders as well.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. These seed balls, they're interesting. Yes. Like the clay, Will the seed get out of that clay?
Yeah, so the clay that we use is called clean clay, so there's no other seeds in it. So when you're planting your native seeds, you're not going to be accidentally planting something else. The clay provides a little bit of food. It's kind of like a fertilizer, and it will wash away in the rain.
Good. All these practicalities.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's a great idea. I love it too because you can chuck it, you know, and
you can throw it sort of wherever you like, in the bush or somewhere in your garden is a good spot for it.
And actually then it's got all that protection, and in the I guess in a natural system, you know, trees very rarely grow up in a clear vacuum, don't they? You know, they grow up in the undergrowth.
So. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Cool. And what are the, like one thing that, you know, I used to run these courses, sustainable living courses, and I would talk to people about skinks, and I would love to see some skinks, and we don't really tend to see them. It's fewer and fewer people are seeing skinks in their gardens, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's what I've heard, but I have heard a couple of, a little bit of chatter around skinks in the area that OpenView is in, but it would be awesome to know actually if there are skinks in other places around the area. But there are quite a few different things that you can do to encourage skinks into your garden. So creating like a little rock gallery, because they absolutely love hiding in among rocks. And Coprosma species as well are really good. So these really thick, bushy species provide a lot of protection against aerial predators, so birds as well. And they absolutely love basking out in the sun. So anywhere you might find a good patch of sun, you might find skinks.
Right, yeah. And cats are a major predator, aren't they?
They are, yeah.
So what kind of advice, let's say, because often people will say, I've got skinks, and the only reason they know they've got skinks is because their cat is bringing in the skinks.
Mm.
So what kind of, like, what can people do? Like, they're heartbroken, they love their cat, but they would love the skinks too. What can they do?
Yeah, so keeping cats indoors at night is always a really good thing to do. And then during the day, there's a special sort of collar. It's called a Birds Be Safe collar. It's like a brightly coloured clown ruffle. The cat looks a little bit silly, but it operates on the way that, so birds and skinks as well have really good colour vision. So when the cats are wearing these collars, they can, the birds and the skinks and I think frogs as well, they can see the cats very well, so they're more likely to get away from them. Mm-hmm. Rodents, for example, they've got really poor colour vision, so it actually doesn't prevent them from catching rodents. So that's a big plus, but it reduces capture of birds and lizards as well.
All right. So has it been shown to work?
Yeah, there have been a couple of studies been done to show that.
That's great. That sounds much better than what I had for my previous cat, which was this big cat flat.
Oh, yes.
And every time my cat would stick its paw up, the flap would flip up. Yeah.
Was that the
cat? It didn't last long. But anyway, we've got to do little steps at least to reduce and give the skinks a fairer chance anyway. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So I understand you actually did a bit of research, or quite a bit of research on cats, didn't you?
I did, yeah. So I did, a couple of years ago now, I did a master's looking at spatial movements of cats. I looked at pet cats using GPS collars, and I also looked at feral cats looking into genetics. So one pet cat was a more finer scale individual movements, and then the feral cats were looking at more population movements.
Right.
And then I've worked on collaborative projects, looking into cat movements and things as well.
Right, so it's all really interesting to know the secret lives of our cats.
It is very interesting to know the secret lives of our cats, and a lot of people don't realise what their cats get up to when they're not around. No,
that's right. Yeah, they have a blessed life, really. They have a lot of freedom and a free meal. So now you've moved on, so you're doing the work with Orokanui Sanctuary, and so through that you're actually contracted. So I think I mentioned that at the beginning, but it's just so that people understand, you know, that the relationship. So it's really great to have that connection with Orokanui Sanctuary, OpenView,
Yeah, it's really important that this particular project, and I'm sure a lot of other ones, are collaborative. So there's a lot of partnerships working to achieve, you know, the goals of these these projects.
And I presume at Zealandia they've maybe got something similar happening where they're kind of looking out into the wider community. Obviously, they probably got something with the Otari Wilton Reserve.
Yeah, I presume so. It's, I mean, it's very important that you have these areas like Orokonui and like Zealandia where they've got these awesome forests and there's a lot of species, a lot of biodiversity. They're doing really well, but it's really important that you know, they're doing so well that they're leaving the sanctuary, that they are going to be safe when they're outside those predator-proof fences. So, yeah. The Halo Project is another group of people, and they're working really hard to protect that area directly outside.
Yeah, so that's awesome. I love it.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
it's all about, and it's a way that, I guess, in the marine reserve they had the similar idea. You know, that you can have a place where, you know, I'm thinking, you know, where the species can be spilling out into the wider area as well. Mm-hmm. So what can we do? You know, like we can, if we're living in the Northeast Valley area, how wide does it extend if you want to be part of Open View?
The Northeast Valley, Opoho and Pine Hills suburb. So I guess the bottom end would be near the supermarket and the top end is probably up by the Upper Junction.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we will be, some of the kids that we're working with in the schools do live over in West Harbour sort of area, so some of those kids are involved as well.
Yeah, so it's, we all benefit.
Yes,
And if people want to get involved, how could they get involved with Open View?
They could join our Facebook group, so facebook.com/group/OpenView, or they should get in touch with me via email. So my email is Claire, C-L-A-R-E, at orokonui.nz.
Right, okay, yeah. And do you, they meet every month or every...
Yes, yep. So the steering group meets every month.
Right, that's great. And so what... We can help by planting our natives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Any particular natives now? Because some people say it doesn't matter, it's a native. Other people say, no, it should be eco-sourced. And what's your thoughts on that?
So eco-sourced plants are ones that have a similar sort of genetic diversity to an area that you're getting them from. It's really important because if you, say, got some plants from up north, we'd start levelling off that genetic diversity rather than keeping it different. And that genetic diversity is really important for sustaining populations. And it's much better for them to... it's resilience. It's really good for the resilience.
Right.
Bounce back against any adverse things that come
up. That's right. And because I guess in the future, if ever we do have, you know, well, we are heading into perhaps more unstable climate and everything.
Mm.
And so if we have that diversity, we can move things around if necessary.
Yes, yeah.
Which we might have to do. Yeah. So, and so you also, I guess the thing you'd really love for people is if they do have a skink in their garden, you'd love to hear from them, wouldn't you?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I'd really love to hear from them. Yeah, and then we can, working with the kids, it's really good if we have a bit of an idea of where things are, and you know, the kids can get really passionate about finding out what's around in their gardens as well.
Okay, so tell me, like, how long have you been in the job?
About a year or so. Over a year now.
Yeah. So it's still early days for you.
Yeah.
But have you had sort of some like long-term hopes for the valley? Like what inspires you about this position?
Yeah. So our very long-term, very wide sort of vision is actually to get Kaka back in the valley. I mean, that would be awesome. But it's really getting people working together, getting people educated on what they can do to enhance biodiversity in their gardens. And we do have a plan that's sort of projected to 2050.
Wow, that's good. That's really good. Right. That's awesome. So I guess in the shorter term now, though, you've got some things happening. So tell me what's happening.
Yeah, so we've got a sort of very short term at the moment. We've got a couple of things happening. So on the 23rd of August, so Thursday at 7 o'clock, we're having a bit of a community catch-up. So just letting everyone know how the project's going and getting any feedback from the community as well in a wider sense. And then coming up in September on the 23rd as well, but it's a Sunday, we've got the Valley Spring Clean. So people in the Valley can bring their e-waste and any sort of things that they're finding a bit difficult to dispose of, as well as actually doing a bit of weeding out in gardens and in the public spaces as well. And that weeding can then feed into the community gardens up there in the form of chips. So it would be really awesome.
Right. But in terms of waste, they can bring it down to the
The Valley Project
the
Community
Valley Project.
Range.
Ah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that sounds good. Yeah.
But all the details will be out on Facebook.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So the first thing is to get onto the Facebook, and that's just Open View, is it, or Open Valley? Urban?
Yeah, Open View. Just OpenVue.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And I'll put all these things in my diary.
Awesome.
Because I'm in the Pine Hill area, so that's
okay.
Yep,
perfect.
Area. And all the best with your short and long term goals.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
And thank you for listening. I'm Maureen Howard, and my guest today was Claire Cross from Open View, and so talking about all the wonderful things that are happening in Northeast Valley area in terms of our backyard biodiversity. So if you'd like to listen to that show again, you can download it from the podcast at oar.org.nz. Or you can listen to it. I think it's on Monday. It'll be re-aired on Monday. So thank you again for listening, and hope to catch you in 2 weeks' time.
Taste Nature is Dunedin's organic food shop and eatery at 131 High Street. Open 7 days, Taste Nature carries a wide range of certified organic primary produce and whole foods. The eatery features seasonal organic fare made with the freshest ingredients. Want fresh organic produce and grocery items delivered direct to your door? Contact Taste Nature to try one of their popular organic produce boxes or personalised grocery orders. Good food, direct to you. Taste Nature, online at tastenature.co.nz.
took its toll. And in the name of flood control, they made their plans and they drained the land. Now the glades are going dry. And the last time I walked in the swamp, I sat up on a cypress stump. I listened close and I heard the ghost of Osceola cry.
I loved you and it took my breath, and now I think you love me and it scares me to death. Cause now I lie awake and wonder, I worry, I think about losing you. I don't care what you say, maybe I was happy or blue. I don't care what you say, maybe I was happy blue. Justice is a lady, she's blind with a scale. She got a big letter opener, she's been reading my mail, you know. And I don't know why this should shame me, but it does somehow. I don't care what you say, she don't look like a lady now. I don't care what you say, she don't seem like a lady now. Thinking, believe in heavy sound. I believe in heavy images to hold it all down. I put them all together, as light as a feather in spite of me. I don't care what you say, faith is not a guarantee. I don't care what you say, faith is not a guarantee. Well, did you think I didn't know that? Might be right. I swear I will forget it if it takes all night. You know I never needed nothing like I ever needed knowing I needed you. I don't care what you say, none of this is nothing new. Well, I don't care what you say, none of this is nothing new. I loved you and it took my breath, and now I think you love me and it scares me to death. Cause now I lie awake and wonder, I worry, I think about losing you. I don't care what you say, maybe I was happy or blue. I don't care what you say, maybe I was happy blue.